This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
I'm Cody Stutzen for Landry Locker, John Lopez, figure the normal spots of the General John McClain, the end of the Hall of Famer, Houston Chronicle, Sports Radio 610's own, sitting in with us thanks to our friends at Horn Solutions. John, I know you got some Aaron Rodgers stuff, some, a lot of other things we want to get to with you. What's your best guess on where physically Deshaun Watson will be tomorrow when the Houston Texans hit the field for training camp day one? Physically, where will he be?
I don't know, but if he's being, I'm told he's being treated like all the other players, that means he'd be out in the practice field. You know, one of the things to keep in mind, they've got three quarterbacks for this season, Tyrod Taylor, Jeff Driscoll, and Davis Mills. First time they've had all new quarterbacks since their first year in 02. Those guys are trying to learn new players. They need as many snaps as they can get in practice and preseason. And you don't need Deshaun Watson taking away snaps when they know he's not going to be playing during the season. So I don't know if he just stand back there and talk to his teammates, if he'd help him like be an extra coach, if he'd stand on the sideline. I don't know. And that's, I've never seen a team that people think is going to be the worst in the league creating so much interest, not just locally, but nationally. Several national media people were scheduled to come here last week in case something like this happened. I never thought he would show up, but then to avoid a $50,000 a day fine, I can certainly understand it.
What is, you touched on it a little bit there, but I'm just fascinated, and we will be out there tomorrow, and if you are a football fan or a story fan, I highly recommend, man, starting at 6 a.m., we're going to be the only media outlet broadcasting live there. We're going to have players off the field, and interviews with Nick Caserio.
I'll be on at 7 o'clock instead of 8. Then I'll be back on at 8:30 on Texans radio.
And more than anything, we're going to have eyes on the field, and that's what I want to get to here, John. You touched on it there. I'm fascinated beyond anything I can remember in recent history of just how it's going to look. I mean, because the way it's going to look, the optics, that word is often overused. It will not be overused in this one, because if Deshaun Watson is doing what you're talking about, that is beyond bizarre, first of all. And second, I mean, he was leading passer in the NFL last year, certainly top three in several categories. And you're not playing him when you go 11 on 11?
Well, no, he's not going to be on the team this year. I mean, he'll be inactive or he's not going to play. He don't want to play. He wants to be gone. And you would run the risk of him getting hurt, and then they would get nothing for him. I just don't see it. Maybe they'll put him out there. All I know is they'll have a quarterback out there who has 22 lawsuits for sexual assault and misconduct, 10 police investigations, and an NFL investigation. And that'll be constantly mentioned everywhere as long as he's there. And tomorrow, I thought before he reported, okay, who am I going to be looking at on Wednesday? Quarterbacks, of course. They're not going to have on pads. You know, it's patty cake early in camp. And but now, I don't care about anybody but Watson. And if he's out there, I watch nobody else. I don't care if he's spitting or what he's doing, because that's all anybody cares about. If he's not out there, then I watch the other quarterbacks, especially Davis Mills. That's the one that at some point this season has got to play extensively to see what they have in their third round pick. But Right now, it's all Watson all the time until we get some kind of clarity. Oh, yeah. One other thing.
Yeah.
All right. The NFL has recommended to teams that players wear armbands showing if you have and have not been vaccinated.
That's crazy.
Now, the union doesn't like it, but I'll be looking to see if they have vaccination wristbands mm-hmm. to see who's not. And every player we interview, I'm going to ask them if we don't see that, if they've been vaccinated. And if they say no, we'll ask them why not. It's a huge story. And if they say it's private, I don't believe in disclosing it, makes me think they're not. Because if I'm vaccinated, which I am, I want everybody to know that. And so that's not as big a deal as Watson. If Watson were not out there, it would be, because vaccinations are so important in the NFL. They could be divisive in a locker room. Players dumb enough not to get them could miss games and cost their teams victories. So there's just this is just such an unprecedented time, really, and not just the history of the NFL, but the history of professional sport.
In your best guess, John, who would make the decision on exactly what Deshaun Watson's going to do?
Nick Caserio. Nick Caserio's in charge of everything.
And so once if Nick Caserio says no, he's like the other 89 guys, get him out there. So then it's up to what, David Culley, Tim Kelly, and the offensive staff to decide how much they use Deshaun Watson.
Nah, I think Caserio would probably be deciding that too. Plus, he'll be out there as a coach, throwing the ball, instructing players like he did in the offseason program, like he always did at New England. Marcus Cannon told us that he was in offensive meetings and on game days in New England. Nick Caserio he was in a coach's booth with a headset communicating with Bill Belichick and offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels. So I would expect him to do the same thing here rather than sit with the McNairs and as some of the general managers did.
Now, you mentioned, you know, what it's going to look like. I asked you about it. What about what is the media horde going to look like, especially now that they don't have to go to Green Bay?
Well, I have a quick question too as well. If Deshaun Watson, you know, practices, air quotes, at some point, is he required to talk?
I've got to find out the rules. I know what the rules are in regular season. And, yes, if he's on the team, he has to talk. They can designate two players to talk once a week. But we let them slide on that a lot in the past. We're not letting them slide on anything this year. As far as if I can have anything to do with, I've already alerted the league office about it. But I'm not sure. Sometimes in preseason, the league just leaves it up to the team. And if it's up to the team, Watson's never going to talk. And it'd be great if he did. But we'll ask every player, what do they think about Deshaun Watson? Have you been vaccinated? And, oh, then about camp and the season. You know, we're forgetting almost. We're leaving out, they got 50 new players, 42 new veterans. I've never seen anything like that. So watching how those guys fit in is going to be fun. And some of them are going to emerge and be really good players. Some of them have been really good players in the past but were hurt last year, or the team they were with last year didn't work out like it did the one before. So seeing that over the course of camp and preseason leading up to that first game against Jacksonville is going to be intriguing. And tomorrow's my last part of a 9-part positional series I've been doing, and I've been learning so much about these guys, but it's hard. I'm trying to remember their numbers, but, man, you talk about not being able to tell the players without a scorecard. This is the season you need one.
What about the uncomfortable media horde?
Well, there's going to be a lot of media, and I'm not sure where we'll be. In the past, Bill O'Brien let us just go in the corners as long as we didn't get between the goal lines, and that worked out great. I'm hoping they don't keep us down in one end, because Nick Caserio couldn't do his job if he worked from one end. Neither could David Culley or Cal McNair. So I'm hoping we have the freedom to do like we did in the past, because when players divide up by their positions and they go down in a corner, we can't see squat, which is why I always bring binoculars and wear them around my neck. So all that is to be determined. I hope we're given the courtesy and the respect of the way it's been at every other training camp going back to the first one in 2002.
What do you think David Culley's making of all this? First chance to be a head coach, all this hoopla around a quarterback who he has to expect is he's never going to actually coach in an NFL game. And he's got to figure out what to do with all these questions that maybe his team's going to have about Deshaun Watson. And Casario's got to be helping him out a little bit. This is a first-time head coach.
Yes, Casario's happy. Lovie Smith's helping him. Lovie having him running the defense. You know, two-time head coach in NFL, college head coach, invaluable person to have on the roster. Every first-time head coach, whether you're 30, 35 or 65, needs a former head coach there. He's also got Romeo Crennel around if he needs advice from Romeo. And Romeo and Lovie and David Culley are three of the classiest, nicest people I've ever met. And so I can tell you, Culley will be Mr. Positivity. That's what he is. He's an optimist. He's excited. But I'll guarantee you, when he took the job, he thought they were going to be able to talk Watson into coming back. When Nick Casario took the job, he had just taken a job and it came out he wanted to be traded. Well, you know, he thought, okay, we'll get it worked out, not knowing that Watson wanted out so bad. Of course, now it's not, and their strategy is to rebuild without saying rebuild, and they could be the worst or one of the worst teams in the league. That's what everybody expects.
It's interesting, and David Culley is Mr. Positivity. Do you foresee Deshaun Watson taking any snaps with during training camp? Because it still affects the team. Now, we don't think they're going to be very good, but you got two quarterbacks, especially a young quarterback, a rookie quarterback, that you need as many snaps as possible.
Absolutely. You cannot take away snaps from Davis Mills. Davis Mills, third-round pick, Casario's first pick as a general manager. At some point, he's got to play. They need to see him in camp. They need to see him in preseason. And then when Tyrod Taylor takes over to start the season, at some point, and I've been saying after the bye week for the last eight games, if he's ready mentally, put him out there. See what you got. They'll see him in practice. They'll see him in meetings. They'll see his work ethic behind the scenes. But they've got to see him in games because, you know, the odds are against him being the guy considering he only started 11 games at Stanford. But what if? You know, what
right,
if he
right.
surprised them and we saw, wow.
Or injury.
That guy can play. Then that changes everything next year when they'll have their number one, at least one, maybe two number ones from another team. Then they could get position players, which would help the rebuild tremendously. But the odds of that happening are minuscule considering he didn't play much at Stanford because of the pandemic. Had Mills stayed, everybody said he'd be a top 10 pick next year, maybe top five. But the fact is, they've got to see him. They can't have anybody taking snaps away from him. Whatever the plan is with Mills, they got to make sure they execute it.
Boy, you're talking a very fun scenario if David Mills somehow worked out, because then that would usher in the Kayvon Thibodeau era.
Well, keep in mind, Cody, that in Tyrod Taylor's last two training camps in which he was the starter with the Browns in 18 and the Chargers last year. I mean, he was clearly the starter while they were going to develop Baker Mayfield and Justin Herbert, and then he got hurt early in the season both times. Now, you hope he does not have that happen a third time, but it is a possibility. And then they would go with Jeff Driscoll, or maybe they sign another veteran, because I don't see them throwing Mills to the Wolves because it could do so much damage to him mentally. And but at some point, we're going to – in a perfect world, Tyrod Taylor starts nine games, stays healthy, they're respectable, and then Mills starts after the bye week, and Taylor understands it because he's a great guy, he's a pro's pro, and he would do everything he can.
If they win nine games, he's not going to give up that job.
Wait, tell me when you wake up, will you?
No. I'm saying if they win nine games –
and I'm telling you, tell me when you wake up.
No,
they ain't winning nine games.
I think he just means if they're competitive and we're, you know.
Oh, I thought you said they win nine games.
No, through nine games.
Through nine games. No.
No.
If they win nine, I'm not even going to say it. I'll let you sound stupid.
I was like,
if they win nine games.
Yeah.
Listen, no. If they win nine games. Nick Caserio's the smartest man in the universe.
They will stop the season, and he, Caserio and Cully will be bronzed outside NRG Stadium.
If they win nine games, Deshaun Watson might change his mind.
I thought you meant like week 13 or 14, yeah. And they've won nine games.
No.
They ain't nobody giving up that job. No.
They win nine games, Taylor is going to be comeback player of the year. Yeah. Cully's going to be executive of the year. I mean, Cully be coach of the year. Tim Kelly or like Pep Hamilton, assistant
games.
Coach of the year.
What if they go 6? What if they go 5-4?
Oh, you sound like Mark Vandenberg.
No.
What if they go 5-4?
What if they go 5-4? They might not win 5 games all year.
If the
I don't expect them to win 5 games all year.
Here's the tough reality for Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
Hey man, we're gonna go with the young guy, and then you can go find another team. You played pretty well through 9. Thanks.
No, if they go 5-4, it means they're gonna be in a playoff race. Tyrod Taylor will stay right where he is.
Man.
You want to do a little leg hiking?
Yeah.
And if they go 9-0, he's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
He'll get an extension.
Yeah, that certainly was – that went over my head. I thought you were talking like last couple of games. I was like, hey, he ain't going nowhere.
I'm gonna leg hike fantasy land.
Yeah, exactly.
Took our trip to. All right, we'll do some leg hikings.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Famous John McClane leg hiking. And do it next. It's John McClane's, and thanks to our friends at Horn Solutions here at Interloop Sports Radio 610.
John McClane's, thank you, Freddy.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
The General John McClane in the Loop, thanks to our friends at Horn Solutions, Sports Radio 610. I'm Cody Stutz in for Landry Locker. The rest of the normal crew here. John, tell us about Anthony Miller, the new wide receiver that the Texans added over the weekend. Monday was supposed to be Anthony Miller Day. We were going to spend all day talking about him, and then Deshaun Watson showed up and ruined Anthony Miller Day. Tell us about Anthony Miller, the former Bears wide receiver, former second-round pick, now a member of the Houston Texans.
Second-round pick in 2018. He's going into the last year of his contract. They got Miller and a 7 for a 5 next year, and I think their belief is, yeah, he's been a good receiver. The Bears soured on him when he got in a fight with defensive back in a playoff game and punched him and got kicked out. And guys in the last year of their contract, when you're young, knowing you got a big payday coming, like say Justin Reed, and your agent's telling you and everybody's telling you got to make sure you play your best. I think it was a good move because opposite Brandon Cooks right now, you could have Chris Conley, whose last two seasons in Jacksonville were at least 40 catches, mostly off the bench, Anthony Miller. And then when Nico Collins, a third-round pick, is ready, you know, he'll play. But I think he's certainly added to the talent at wide receivers. Of course, that's good for the quarterbacks.
You believe him to be an outside guy, not a slot guy?
He can do both.
A little bit of both, yeah.
They got QT. They got Brandon Cooks. They got guys who can play inside and outside.
Randall Cobb for now.
And Cobb, of course. And that thing about Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, that is only – I've not seen any beat guys covering the team. No national guys. Only Trey Wingo put that out there. And, of course, we'll ask Nick Caserio in the morning if he thinks he can get a 1 for him. And it's amazing players, if that's true, trying to dictate. But he's there. He can't turn around and leave now. So if he doesn't get Randall Cobb – and it wasn't in writing, he'll hate the GM, Brian Gutekunst, even more.
It's an interesting thing with Anthony Miller because I see the attraction. He's had 40-plus catches here and there. Never scored a touchdown, but There's I also see the other side. The Bears media and fans were very happy to get a fifth round pick for him.
So I wonder why that was.
Yeah, very happy.
They were doing the old proverbial Landry Locker send the limo.
We got a fifth rounder for him. So it's a true wait and see, and it's another sort of litmus test for Nick Caserio, right?
Well, that's just one of many that he's 51 now that they have brought in. You'll see, 51 new players, 43 veterans. That makes him right there doing that. So he had 49 catches last year, 485 yards, 2 touchdowns. He had 7 touchdowns as a rookie, 33 catches, 52 catches for 656 his second year and 2 touchdowns. So he hadn't been a touchdown machine, but he played with Mitchell Trubisky. Unfortunately, he won't be playing with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
I know fantasy football doesn't mean a lot from the actual like win games on Sunday type thing, but the Texans wide receiver room is literally a load of guys that have had one or two great fantasy football weeks.
Yeah.
That all your fantasy football friends are like, oh yeah, I had him one time. And then, yeah, he went into
and then
good
what
after
happened?
That. Yeah, right, yeah.
And then what
it's
happened?
It's just a load of guys that were good like one or two times. All right, you tell me how this works here, John. You're the expert.
It
the,
is time to hike the leg.
Leg hiking?
Or not hike the leg with John McClain. And we'll just go back and forth. I've got a few for you here, John. Let us know. Deshaun Watson will be traded ultimately, whenever it is, Deshaun Watson will be traded for no more than one guaranteed first-rounder.
Figgy, hike it. Hike it high.
I'm just thinking there's going to be some conditionals, man. Just thinking there's going to be some conditionals.
I think they'll get two number ones, and the conditionals may be on something else.
Okay.
John, the Houston Astros will make not one, but two trades to add to the bullpen.
Well, Cody, I'm going to agree with you because I hope so much that's the truth, because they could get four or five,
yeah,
and it wouldn't bother me.
Trading for Marcus Cannon was a bad trade.
Well, right now, he had a scope after camp. He's 33. He's going to start on physically unable to perform, and when he can pass the physical, he'll be out there. So that's not anything we know right now. So, Figgy, give it a big leg hike.
Charles Omenihu is one of the most exciting players for the Texans in this upcoming training camp.
Yeah, I wouldn't say exciting. I just think he'll be the one who adjusts 4-3 the best. But sure, that's good enough. I agree, Cody.
The Astros will trade for Craig Kimbrell.
No, because he's a closer, and they've got a great closer. Ryan Presley has been tremendous.
Hey,
it's everybody else that stinks it
before.
Up. Hike it, Figgy.
The first time the Aggies and Longhorns play, it will be on Thanksgiving night, and the TV ratings will be similar to, as the kids say, wait for it, a Super Bowl.
Well, first of all, it'll be in College Station. They're not going to reward the Longhorns by forcing the Aggies to go to Austin. But if you wait till Thanksgiving, and how much of an attraction is it going to be to have a Texas team with a losing record playing with the top five ranked Aggies? So I think they need to do it primetime, first game, College Station, and they'll be scalping tickets like the Super Bowl. So I get Figgy.
Oh,
I mean, seriously, the Longhorns can't dominate the Big 12. Why in the world do they think they're going to win in the SEC? All my Longhorn friends, oh, man, this is going to make us better. I said, you're already looking for your next coach. What do you mean? We got Sark. Well, you change him every 3 years. You know they already got a list.
Oh, man. John, my Texas Tech Red Raiders and your Baylor Bears will be competing yearly for Mountain West titles.
Figgy hike.
He almost said a bad word.
Go independent.
We almost got McClain to hit the
dumb
button.
What I would really love to see, and I've seen this proposal, Baylor, excuse me, I'm getting choked up.
I was too, John, when I was thinking about having to play
Baylor,
the
Mountain Tech, West. TCU, and Oklahoma State join Colorado, Utah, Arizona, and Arizona State in the Eastern Division of the Pac-16. Mountain West.
Pac-16.
Those are two nasty words, Mountain West. If they stay in the Big 12, go get U of H and Cincinnati. That would make them an even better basketball conference.
It will be a basketball conference.
Because losing the Longhorns, who keep players for 1 year and then they go on, and losing Oklahoma is no big deal in basketball. Big 12 is already the best conference, and it would be even better with the Cougars and the Bearcats.
So you really think they're going to go to the Pac-12, Pac-16?
No, I don't think that. I'm just saying I'd like that, but I don't think that'll happen. Well, but I don't have a clue.
There's a lot of room.
Just not the Mountain West,
please. There's a lot of room at the arenas for the Mountain West titles we're going to win, John.
Joseph Duarte had a really good story Sunday about the Cougars conference, All-American conference, going after them. I think that would be the second best of the Pac-16.
I think the Cougars should think bigger than that.
SEC?
No. Like they need to get in on this, whatever new conference is going to be in. I think it helped them.
Well, they got Tillman Fertitta. He certainly got the money to throw around to help them.
Aaron Rodgers will not be a Packer in 2022.
Oh, I think he'll be a Packer for the next 2 years. It's the last year of the contract they tore up. He'll be 39. How many teams trade for 39-year-old
teams that need a quarterback? The Buccaneers.
Hike it, Figgy. I forgot. I said that. You got anything left in there?
John, what you got coming up for the folks? Where can they find you and what to expect?
Oh, gosh. TexasSportsNation.com and the Chronicle. We got everything you could want. I look forward to seeing you guys tomorrow. Cody, great to be on with you. John, always a lot of fun.
Yes, sir.
Figgy, thank you.
That's the General John McClain. Thanks to our friends at Horn Solutions. We'll talk a little bit about those Astros, more about the Texans, and so much more. The hits are lit.
Playing all the hits. These are the hot stories of the day. Presented by BaywayLincoln.com. You're in the loop with Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610.
The hits coming your way here on Sports Radio 610. Big hit tomorrow will be Texans training camp. And, of course, you don't want to miss Texans general manager Nick Caserio live at the podium right here on Sports Radio 610. You can also expect to be hearing Nick Caserio sitting down with Sports Radio 610 during Texans training camp live as well. So, plenty to get to, plenty with the general manager tomorrow. You don't want to miss it here on Sports Radio 610.
I wonder what they're going to ask him about.
Oh, I mean, it's got to be about, like,
Anthony Miller?
Depth.
Well, they actually might actually. Yeah, actually,
you know what? Honestly, you need to ask him about Anthony Miller. Yeah,
right. A wide receiver competition.
Yeah, yeah. Kiki, what did he do to you? Versatility?
Wait, so you think someone in the middle of, like, a big story might just try to throw in a wide receiver competition question?
100%.
Oh, yeah.
He tell us about the wide receiver competition you have.
How does it feel?
That's Figgy Fig. That's John Lopez. I'm Cody Stutzen for Landry Locker.
How does it make you feel?
Oh, man. All right. So, plenty of Texans training camp stuff tomorrow. Nick Caserio tomorrow. You don't want to miss Nick Caserio talking about,
Lopez.
Hey, I might ask about Roy Lopez.
Probably about Deshaun Watson.
Here's my man, Lopez.
Okay, let's do some Astros. What a crappy game last night.
Crappy.
I mean, you sitting there, we're in the first inning. I'm tweeting out, I'm tweeting out Dave Chappelle doing Rick James
on
Charlie Murphy's couch.
Look who's on the mound.
Thick boy Garcia's on the mound.
Yeah.
He's out there. Putting the rock into the windup. Yeah, the cha-cha into the windup and so on and so forth. Yeah. And then he kind of struggles to get out of a situation. But they put some more runs on the board. You know, it's okay. You get a little bit back, and then you look up, and they lost.
Yep.
This Brooks Raley stinks, okay?
You know what? And I've been saying this from the very beginning. I've just never had the confidence in him.
I overrated and overestimated that playoff Brooks Raley from last year, that little stint that he had in the playoffs where he was good. I overestimated that was the guy who was going to show up this year.
Yeah.
He's not there. I'm so tired of Ryan Stanek. I'm so tired of Ryan. I know he had that nice little stretch, but I've been over Ryan Stanek for like 2 months now.
I have been so hot and cold on him, you know, and I guess that feeds to your point as well. You're over him if you can't do it consistently.
Right.
But I've been like, okay, all right, then I'm wrong.
Javier, unavailable. because he pitched a bunch. Presley unavailable because he pitched a bunch. So you got to go to the Stanics. You got to go to the the Brooks Raleys. Joe Smith.
No, I'm over him.
Come on, pal.
Yeah, no, I'm over him.
So
there's no question about that.
I know that there's help on the way within the organization. That should not be it for James Click in this organization, though. I know free agent signee Pedro Baez is doing some rehab, and he's going to be back here pretty soon. Okay? We have no idea if he's any good. We have no idea if he is any good, Pedro Baez. Okay? Josh James, I know he's doing some rehab stuff, and he might come back. We hated watching Josh James on the mound.
This is true.
Right?
I mean, he had a moment.
Josh James is coming back. Yeah. That's like my doctor telling me something I don't want to come back is coming back.
Yeah, yeah. And I like your thought. Why do you want just one reliever? You know, when you've got assets. By the way, the Astros farm system is not nearly what it used to be, but it's not completely depleted.
No.
You know, by any stretch.
No. And there was a little bit of a freak-out moment, I suppose, two nights ago, where this phenom center fielder slash shortstop that they have, Pedro León, Cuban signee that they've added to the organization, crushed it at double A's up at triple A already. He was removed from the game two nights ago, so there was a little bit of nerves. Like, uh-oh, did they trade him? Like, he's really good.
Yeah.
It is not super expensive to go out there and go get some relief help. There's a lot of teams that are out of it that have good relief pitchers that would rather have the prospect than have the relief pitcher. Go get some of those relief pitchers. Go get two. And I don't care if you get someone else's closer either. You know what?
That's why I said Kimbrel when McLean was joining us.
Presley's awesome. Hey, you're the new closer for the eighth inning. It's just as important as the ninth inning. Because if, you know, don't
and
blow it.
We're realizing that.
Right, yeah.
And I am with John McLean, though, that yesterday, I mean, clearly the Astros and James Click, they know the score here, so to speak. They know they need help on the mound. There have been a couple of rumors about a starter, which I get, and you can kind of manipulate the other starters into the bullpen. But I'd rather I think yesterday was an absolute wake up call. If you weren't convinced before, blowing that lead, losing it the way you did at the end, should convince you we need relief help. Absolutely, positively get it done. And it's Thursday, Friday.
The one bonus about Baez is he's not pitched a ton this year. So guys who feel like, you know, you've pitched a ton, they're tired. The 60-game season last year, 160, you know, two this year. There's been some concerns about stretching guys out. Are they going to be able to last a whole season? Baez having to rehab and now just getting started, it's almost like a fresh arm. And then, look, you'd love to trade. If you trade for a crappy team's closer, that guy hadn't pitched a bunch either. So that's good, too. So it is just the Mariners. I guess I just got a little... You never like blowing that kind of lead. I mean, it's just
it just hurts more. It was only one game. Hey guys, it's just 1-162. Yeah, but did you see that one? And then what does it tell you about what you need? You know, moving forward quickly.
I've made this argument for a long time, and you've covered baseball for a long time. Let me see if you think I'm on the right track here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just one game, is what really crappy teams or teams that are overachieving say. When you are great. When you are excellent, when you believe your team has World Series potential, one game could mean a tremendous amount, especially in a stacked American League where one game could mean the difference between four at your joint or three at your joint when it's all said and done.
Seven-game series or five-game series.
Right, yeah.
I mean, that's what you don't want if your bullpen is not what it needs to be. I mean, I totally agree. You're not... You know, it is just 1-162, but we are at the point in the season when you look at the standing and you're like, you have to scoreboard watch, right? Right now, the Astros are 61-40. Man, they're right near the top. I mean, they are right near the top, and that's where they need to stay. Well, there are teams, you know, that are within striking distance of them, and you don't want to have to get in that situation.
I would also say, too, this is one of those – early opportunities to really get a read on James Click.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't get a ton of a read on him up to this point.
Yeah.
Because he took over after the 20 roster had already been built. And there wasn't a ton necessarily to do this offseason.
Mm-hmm.
This is our first real big read here on James Click and exactly how he operates on decisions where he alone makes the decision.
And it is
Springer this past offseason was a Crane decision as well as James Click.
I was just going to say, it is a James Click barometer. Because it's not as if, well, is the owner holding him back? No, the owner is not holding him back.
No.
We know Jim Crane. Jim Crane will make the smart decision to win a championship. So he's got Jim Crane's approval. What does he do with it is the question, and he's got to come up with the right guys.
And there's no position players that we desire them to see. Thank God Aledmys Diaz is back.
Oh, that was huge yesterday.
Because that sends Robel Garcia down.
Yeah, that was huge yesterday.
What was your favorite Robel Garcia moment?
Robel Garcia getting sent down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mine was when he messed up that routine grounder.
That was like early on after Bregman was out, right?
That was all of them. My other favorite was when he struck out on three straight pitches with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
That's another favorite Robel Garcia.
That's another one. No, we need Aledmys. We need Bregman. Bregman did play after a rain delay.
0 for 2 mm-hmm. and made a nice play at third base, I suppose.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's fine. The AAA pitcher really getting to you there. Alex Bregman. Uh-oh.
I mean, he's always been a slow starter, so you have to figure he's going to be slow coming back.
Okay. Okay, I like that. I like
knock on wood.
I like the, you know what? I like the explanation that you gave. So I won't freak out when he has the slow
starter. Oh, he's always been a slow starter.
I won't freak out when he comes back from the injury and he's hitting, you know, a buck 90 over the first, you know, week or so. Mm-hmm. I won't freak out about that. Okay.
Yes.
Okay. John, how much Olympics have you caught?
A lot.
Yeah.
You know me. I was in that world for about 20 years and covered a bunch of Olympic games, got to travel all over the world. I got to know a lot of people in the games, so to speak. Been watching a lot. Wrote a book about it. I mean, you know, with the Carrie Strug book that's going to be a movie.
Oh, and for people that don't know, kind of refresh their memory on what she went through and then was able to accomplish as a gymnast.
Well, if you read the book or you see the movie, which is going to be coming out early in 2022, they're casting for it now.
Are you going to be are you guys going to be out in time for Oscar season?
I don't know. Isn't that late December? Maybe they might release it early, late December.
I don't know. I hope
for the next Oscar.
Could you potentially win an Oscar?
Absolutely.
For adapted screenplay or something?
Absolutely.
Can you imagine if John won an Oscar?
Oh my God.
He'd bring it.
Oh,
I put it in here.
He'll walk in here with a black suit, sunglasses,
bottle of champagne, hungover, bloodshot eyes,
special chair.
Slam the Oscar on the table. So, all right, Landry, let's do this.
And that'd be the fifth day in a row that he did it.
That's right. That would be 2 years later, by the way. I'm not talking about afterwards.
All right, so you wrote a book. Carrie Strug,
Landing on My Feet, A Diary of Dreams. Olivia Wilde is going to direct it. I'm really, really excited. It's a whole backstory that we'll get into another time, but they're making it a movie. Carrie Strug clinched the gold medal at the 1996 Olympic Games, and then she asked me to write the book, which was really, really awesome of her and her family. With a broken, well, it was cartilage and stuff, but with a messed up ankle on the first vault, took the second vault to clinch the gold. It's a great story, and I hope the movie does well. Hope it really does.
Women's gymnastics.
For a number of reasons.
Women's gymnastics takes silver as Simone Biles is unable to finish the competition. Some have speculated injury. Some have speculated a desire to focus on the mental stress that she was under.
Right, and that tends to be where they are right now. I've said it before. I think I said it yesterday with you. These are the toughest athletes I've ever been able to be around, especially women's gymnastics. I don't know why, because I guess they're smaller. The pressure that they put on their joints, their growth plates, because they start at a very early age, and their bodies in general, and the things with which they have to compete is truly almost unprecedented in sports, because they're expected to compete with broken bones, expected to, you know, in Carrie's case, land that vault, shake it off, all that. And then there's a lot of emotional stress. You know, people have talked for years about the pressure that sometimes leads to eating disorders and the pressure of coaches and then the country. And
not to mention, this is the first Olympics that has occurred in the world of gymnastics mm-hmm. since all the Larry Nassar stuff happened.
And that's where it leads to Simone Biles. One of the reasons she said she did not retire was because she wanted to be on a team with everybody to see her because of her stature, as someone who was who fell victim to this abuse as a show of strength and as an inspiration to for women to come forward. And part of the reason that she could not finish, I think she was, there had to have been, in my, I'm just guessing, some sort of a physical ailment or some sort of injury. But I think the mental pressure, the emotional anguish ultimately led her to withdraw. It's a wild world, man.
They still got silver. Yeah. Still very good. Mm-hmm. Silver for women's softball as well as Japan takes care of them. All right, a couple more things in the hits. Do we care about Madden ratings still? Figgy was laughing about it the other day. It's Madden rating season. Do we care about Madden ratings still? I kind of do when I see what I saw today.
I don't play Madden. Uh-huh. You know, my boys did, and I'm familiar with it, and I tinkered, but I always got my ass kicked. I care as someone who's never really played the game, just because I think the data they use, the analytics they use to gauge these players, it's something.
Well, and they put in so much work into it,
right,
that it almost does kind of give you a sense of who most people believe are the best at this position and that position.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday was wide receivers. Former Texan DeAndre Hopkins was number 2 on the list. Wide receiver, 98 overall. Davante Adams was 99 overall. Checking in on the edge rusher chart, number 5 overall, former Houston Texan J.J. Watt.
Yeah.
Is J.J. Watt the 5th best pass rusher in the NFL? It doesn't feel like J.J. Watt's the 5th best pass rusher in the NFL, but that's what Madden's telling me.
Again, you and Figgy know a lot more about this than I do. I use it as just one of many little barometers. I could see where he would be there, or is it also because they're trying to sell games? Is there a marketing factor?
I wonder if because there was buzz about Watt leaving, that's a big-time name that leaves.
Right.
People may not have seen whatever his season was last year. And I got to imagine it's probably kind of fun and the Madden guys kind of chuckle when J.J. and T.J. Watt both have the same rating.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, of course. And they because there's not that banter back and forth.
And you know there's going to be a T.J. Watt social media post, and you know there's going to be a J.J. Watt social media post, joking about each other's ratings. And in case you're wondering, Miles Garrett, Cleveland Browns defensive end, number 1 overall pass rusher, 98 overall is his rating.
That's
pretty good.
Pretty good.
So you're telling me when you spend a top overall pick on a defensive end, he ends up being pretty good sometimes?
I think that's what I'm telling you.
Yeah.
When you put assets on that, it ends up pretty well for you.
Learn the name just in case. It's almost college football season.
I know who you're going
just
with.
It's not going to happen on primetime a lot of times. It'll be the late game. You got to catch it every now and then. Maybe occasionally you got like a primetime game here. The Oregon Ducks got a cat, Kayvon Thibodeau. He's a freak.
Yeah.
He's a freak. Okay?
Absolute freak.
And that's a potential Houston Texan of the future if they figure out the quarterback spot.
I mean, he is.
Kayvon Thibodeau.
He is. Mm. But you got to get a quarterback.
Chase Young's better than J.J.
Watt. How did not having a quarterback and J.J. Watt work out in the past?
Well,
that's the argument we're going to have next March and April.
No, we're not, because Davis Mills is going to be awesome, right?
Oh, yeah, sure. But let's say it becomes what we think it's going to become, and they have to get a quarterback.
Sure.
And people are like, well, yeah, but Kayvon Thibodeau, man. I mean, come on. The guy, you're underestimating. I mean, he is a monster.
The fun part about watching draft Knicks talk about him is they're like, yeah, he hadn't quite figured it out yet.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And so we're going to be sitting here, hey, the next J.J. Watt. Okay, what happened the first 6, 7, 8 years of J.J.'s career?
Yeah, I mean, the guy could be the next Miles Garrett. If you don't have a quarterback, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It would be pretty sweet, though, if, I don't know, you could get a QB and Kayvon Thibodeau in the first round of the NFL draft next year. But you got 10 criminal complaints against Deshaun Watson that popped up yesterday. Let's quickly get into that, and we'll expand on it here in just a little bit more in just a moment. Rusty Harden talks to ESPN. Now 10 officially criminal complaints against Deshaun Watson with the Houston Police Department. Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson's attorney, told ESPN that yesterday. 8 of those women are part of the 22 civil cases.
Right.
two new women who Harden even said, quote, we don't know anything about them.
Mm-hmm.
Two new women have entered into that conversation as well. And I heard Seth ask an interesting question this morning. What if in the middle of 2022, another woman comes forward?
Mm-hmm.
What if in the middle of 2023, another woman comes forward? And this is a, you know, you're not getting the benefit of the doubt. Because I would say at one or two women, Deshaun Watson had a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. And then when there was 22, there was no more benefit of the doubt. If
it's 24, by the way.
It's 24. Well, actually,
with those two. And it could be. You factor in. What about the Sports Illustrated one?
It's 25.
Yeah.
So it's 25.
Mm-hmm.
22 under Busby. Two now with the HPD that are not a part of Busby's lawsuits.
Yeah.
And then the Sports Illustrated lady.
Yeah, that's 25. We're going to dig in to what this all means in just about 6 minutes or so with Rusty Harden and everything. What I think, this, you know, just talking about this right now, the sheer number of cases and women accusers, whatever you want to call it, I mean, it just is another reason to believe this is going to be a long, unless they settle and that criminal investigation goes away, which it doesn't seem as if it is. I've heard people say, well, yeah, there's 10, you know, there's 10 accusers, but not a single charge yet. Yeah, well, there's not going to be a single charge until they're ready to say there's no charges or there's going
to
be charges.
I don't think we need to worry about a single charge if there's a charge. I think we need to worry about multiple charges if there's a charge.
Exactly.
So let's dive into Rusty Harden and why he said this, how it hurt the Texans. And one of the things that I'm sure Rusty Harden knows what he's talking about because he's been a highly paid lawyer and he's done this for a very long time and he's very good. But it didn't make sense to me, and I don't think he should want this. We'll talk about that next here in the Loop Sports Radio 610.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.